Martha Barry had a very big dream. Growing up in a poor rural community, she was surrounded by thousands of children who had no opportunity to go to school. In those days, it was considered more important for the children to help on the farm than to get an education. But Martha Barry knew that the way out of poverty was through education. And as a Christian, she had compassion on the children and wanted to do whatever she could to educate them. So Martha Barry started a school and took in boys and girls and began to teach them for free. Now, to be honest, Martha Barry was an unlikely person to take on this great task. First of all, she did not even have a university degree of her own. She had no teacher training. Secondly, she didn't have connections. She wasn't connected to well-known or popular or wealthy people. But perhaps her greatest challenge was a lack of finance. She had no money to start and build a school. But Martha Barry knew how to overcome lack. She did all she could on her own and trusted God for everything else. Soon, so many children were coming to the Barry School that they had to increase their facilities and build bigger buildings. So Martha Barry set out to look for donations and began to travel, asking people to help with her vision and raising money. And then one day, she got an opportunity to meet Mr. Henry Ford, the founder of Ford Automobile, a multimillionaire and one of the richest men in business. She shared her passion for educating poor children with Henry Ford and told him of the great things that were being accomplished at Barry School. Then she asked him for a donation. But to Martha's surprise, Henry Ford only gave her a very small donation. It was just something that amounted to a few CDs. She could have been insulted, she could have been offended, or she could have been discouraged. After all, here's a man with millions of dollars, and he gave her just a token donation. But Martha was not discouraged. She took the money Ford gave her and went to the market and bought seeds. She took the seeds back to Barry School and planted them, grew a crop, harvested it, and took the crop to the market to sell it. With the money she earned, she bought more seeds, came back and planted again, grew another harvest, and did the same things four times over. Finally, after the fourth harvest, she'd gathered a significant amount of money to do something at the school. And then Martha Barry went back to Henry Ford and said, "Mr. Ford, this is what your donation has done." Henry Ford was so impressed with Martha's commitment to her dream that he began donating to the Barry School in sums that amounted to millions of dollars. He built buildings, he bought land, and helped the simple Barry School to become a university. The university that Martha Barry founded still operates today in Rome, Georgia, USA. It's named after her, and it has the largest campus of any university in the world, consisting of over 28,000 acres of land. It all began with a simple dream and a determined Christian woman. There's a powerful lesson for all of us in the true story of Martha Barry. For you see, when you give God what you have and trust Him for the rest, there is no limit to what God can do. He will meet every need. He will overcome every lack. He is the great overcomer. And what He's done for others, He wants to do in your life as well. Just like Martha Barry, though, you've got to sow what's in your hand as a seed and let Him bring a harvest. That's the lesson we learn from Martha Barry, and it's the lesson we learn from the Lord Jesus today as well, as we discover how to overcome lack. But before we go on, let's bow our heads and pray together. Almighty Father, we thank You that You have always made a way where there seemed to be no way. We stand in awe, Lord, of all the great miracles You've done in the times past, in history and in our lives. But Lord, we know that You're not finished. We know there are still greater things ahead. We know that You have overcome every force, every power, including the lack in our lives. So we come before You today and ask as we sit at Your feet that You will teach us, inspire us with faith, move upon us by Your grace, and give us the revelation we need to follow Your principles into overcoming lack. We submit to you now, we bind every spirit of the enemy that would come against us, every work of darkness that would try to deceive or disturb or distract us. We command it to be silent in the name of Jesus, and I loose the power of the Holy Spirit to minister truth to our hearts, that at the end of the service, you alone will be glorified and we will remain blessed. We thank you by faith now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I want to invite you to take a moment and pray with me. Go ahead and put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good morning. Once again, welcome to Agape House New Testament Church. I'm so glad that you're here in worship with us today. If you happen to be watching online right now, or if you're watching this message by DVD or listening to the sermon on CD, we say welcome to you as well. May the power and presence of the Lord touch you right where you are. And if you're ever in Accra, don't hesitate to join us in person. I promise you that a warm welcome awaits you. Well, for the last few weeks, we've been studying a sermon series called Overcomer. We've been looking at the miracles of Jesus as found in the Gospel of John and learning the lessons of how we can appropriate God's overcoming power in our own lives. 2 weeks ago at Easter, we studied the resurrection of Lazarus, and we learned that Christ has triumphed over the grave, and because of that, his resurrection power is available to us today as well. In fact, the book of Romans tells us that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of us. So when the stone was rolled away, it not only let Jesus out, but it let us in to the resurrection power. And that power is still at work in our lives today, unwrapping our full potential and bringing us more and more into the ways of God's supernatural power. If you follow the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender yourself to him, then you will continue to see more and more of his resurrection power released in your life. If you believe it, say amen. And that led us, of course, last week to the amazing discovery of God's power to overcome the impossible through the healing of the man born blind. For you see, if Jesus has overcome death, then there is no other power, no other name, no other force that he cannot overcome. And since his victory is our victory, then we too can experience the supernatural and the miraculous in our lives. And that brings us to today's lesson entitled Overcoming Lack. For you see, God's not just interested in your spiritual life, he's also passionate about your physical life. He's not just concerned about getting you into prayer, he's also getting something into your pocket. God wants you to have an abundant life, not just in eternity, but here on earth as well. So to help us learn the secrets of overcoming lack, we're going to study a miracle of Jesus found in John chapter 6. This is the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. And to help us learn today's truth, we've printed sermon notes. You'll find yours inside the bulletin. It looks like this. And I invite you to take it out now and follow along with me as we discover the three stages to overcoming lack. If you have your Bible, you can turn to John 6. Or if you have a smartphone or web-enabled device, you can go to YouVersion.com. Follow along with me at our sermon notes there under live events in Ghana. Or, of course, you can go to our website if you're watching online and download the sermon notes for free at www.agapehouseghana.org. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to read the scripture together in different parts this morning. We're going to do it interactive. This is an interactive sermon. Tell your neighbor, this is interactive.
This is interactive.
You got to play a part, all right? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to be Jesus. Yay! And David is going to be the head disciple again. You guys are all the disciples. Let's give David and the disciples a big round of applause, all right? Woo! Beautiful burgundy and gold tie there. And then we've got Mr. Edmund Baidu as our narrator. So here we go. John chapter 6. Eddie's going to start off us off. Go ahead, Eddie. Take us away.
Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked,
"Where can we buy food to feed all these people?"
He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do.
"All right, disciples, let's go along." Philip replied,
"Come on, disciples, you can do better than that." Philip replied, "Go ahead."
"Even if we worked for man, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them."
Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up.
"Disciples, let's go again. There is a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?"
"Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said.
So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told the disciples,
"Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted."
So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves.
May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And give yourselves another round of applause. You did great. You are fantastic disciples. Amen. I love this miracle. It's probably one of my favorites. I know it's not the most significant or the most important, but there's two reasons I like it. Number one, I like food. And number two, I like miracles. So any miracle that multiplies food, I'm all for it. Amen. Can all the men in the house say amen? But I love it also because it shows us God's compassion and concern for our physical needs. If you're here today and you're facing a financial lack, or you don't know how you're going to make ends meet, understand that God cares about your need. He cares about your problems. He has compassion on the needy, and he's moved with the suffering of those who are poor. He's not just interested in saving your soul. He's interested in every detail of your life. He's not just concerned about your prayer life. He's concerned about your bank account as well. He's not just trying to fill your soul. He also wants to fill your stomach. And in this beautiful story, we can learn the secrets to overcoming lack in our lives. So let's take a few minutes and discover the three stages of overcoming lack. And here's the first stage today. God uses lack to reveal kingdom values. If you have your pen, just pick it up and write in the word reveal in the blank space. God uses lack to reveal kingdom values. See, there's a little verse hidden at the beginning of the story that's a key to this stage of overcoming. It's found in John 6:6, and here's what it says. Jesus was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. And the fact is, when we face situations of lack, it is first of all a test from God to see our response. The beautiful thing is God already knows in advance what he's going to do. He's already got your problem figured out. For John 6:6 says, Jesus knew already what he would do. And your problem this morning is not a surprise to God. God has not been asleep while the devil attacked you. He didn't wake up suddenly and begin to panic and wonder, what am I going to do? God is not in heaven wringing his hands saying, I don't know how I can solve Kofi's problem. Where will I get the money to meet Amma's need? He knew that the opposition would come before it came. He knew that the marriage would be delayed. He knew that the money would run out, and he's got it all under control. God never shakes in fear. He never trembles in anticipation. He's not alarmed or panicked. He doesn't have hypertension or high blood pressure. He never has a heart attack or a panic attack. God's got it all figured out. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. God already knows how to move the money into your account. God already knows how to bring about a balance in your checkbook so you can pay the bills. God already has your life partner in mind, and he's simply getting him ready for you. Some of you young ladies are anxious. Where is my life partner? Who will I marry? Right now, he's not ready for you. He's still a little bit immature. So God's doing you a favor and getting him matured so he'll be ready for you. If you met him now, you probably wouldn't even like him because he's really immature. Let me just reassure you. But God's going to do what it takes to get him ready. He's going to come into your life at the right time. So hold on to your faith. He's already got the house lined up, the contract waiting, and the connection in place. Somebody say amen. Amen. So when things look like lack, simply know that it is often a test from God to see how we will respond. That's why the first step to overcoming lack is to overcome a lack of faith. What are you trusting in? What are you putting your hope in? What are you depending upon? If your faith is on the things you can see and touch and hold on to and handle, if your faith is in the things that are physical to give you reassurance, then you'll miss the key to overcoming lack. That's why before you can move into miraculous provision, you have to embrace kingdom values. You've got to get your life centered on the values and the priorities of heaven before you can access his miraculous provision. As long as you hold on to the earthly and trust in what you can see and depend upon, God has no obligation to meet your needs. Listen, friends, God is not here just to make you rich. We've reduced the gospel today to some type of physical prosperity, but Jesus didn't die just so you could drive a nicer car or live in a bigger house or take a vacation in Dubai. Jesus didn't need to die for any of those things because he's always been providing for man's material needs. From Adam in the garden until now, God has already provided and always provided for man's physical needs. Jesus didn't need to die for any other reason than his blood would cleanse your sin and he would bring you back to the Father. And what you need to understand today is that when you have kingdom values, you never need to worry about material provision. For provision of your material needs is something that is automatic when you have kingdom values. That's what Jesus taught us in Matthew 6, 31 to 33. He said, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So God's message to you today is relax. Don't worry. Trust in him and he will take care of you. That's why Jesus tested Philip. He wanted to know if the message of faith that he'd been teaching to his disciples was getting in, it was sinking in, if they were getting the lesson. And God often uses lack to test us. In the Old Testament, it's clear that God tested the children of Israel between Egypt and the Promised Land. They had no farm, no food, no sustained source of water, no roots at all, and God used that to see what was in their hearts. Listen to Deuteronomy 8:2. Bible says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and, say it together, test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. God used the wilderness to test them whether they would trust in him or trust in themselves. And God is using lack in your life to test you to see your response and what is in your heart. Are you out for money or are you out for kingdom values? The fact is, God wants to meet your needs. He wants to bless his children. He loves us, but he knows that if we get greedy and focus our mind on the material, it will make life difficult. He wants us to have money, but he doesn't want money to have us. And if you hold on to your wealth with a tight fist, it's going to fail you. It's not going to bring you the happiness or the peace or the joy or the freedom you think. In fact, when you hold on to the things of this life with your heart, it always leads to bondage and death. We can learn that truth from the story of the ring-tailed monkey. Down in southern Africa, there's a funny little creature, ring-tailed monkey, quite cute, and I hear very delicious to eat. The ring-tailed monkey is quick, and he's clever, and he's difficult to catch unless you know his weakness. And the ring-tailed monkey's weakness is he's greedy. He always holds on to what he gets and never lets it go. So here's how you catch a ring-tailed monkey. You take an empty Coca-Cola bottle, and you tie it around a tree, and then you drop some ground nuts or some dried plantain in the bottom of the Coca-Cola bottle, and you sit and wait and watch. When the ringtail monkey comes along, he sees the ground nuts and the dried plantain, and he wants it because he's greedy. So he's just barely able to fit his little tiny paw down the hole of the mouth of the Coca-Cola bottle, and he grabs the ground nuts. But when he grabs them, he makes a fist, and a clenched fist won't come out of the mouth of the Coca-Cola bottle. And no matter how hard he tries, he can't get his hand out and he refuses to let the ground nuts go. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. Hello. So all you need to do is come over and say, good afternoon, little ring-tailed monkey, you greedy thing, you. You bop him on the head, put him in your sack, and take him away, because even when he's faced with death and bondage, he won't let go of the ground. And friends, that's how a greedy man is. He hoards and stores up and refuses to let go. And even when his life is on the line, a greedy man won't release his grip on things. The fact is, money answers all things, but money is not the answer. For the richest nations of the world have the highest suicide rates. And before God wants to overcome your lack, he wants to overcome your greed. Before God fills your empty pocket, he wants to fill your empty heart. For materialism is often man's attempt to fill an empty soul. God cares about your physical need. There's no doubt that those are important to him. He has compassion on the poor. But at the same time, his number one priority in your life is your peace and your joy and your eternal salvation. So Jesus taught us in Matthew 16, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? For there is no price you can pay for your soul. The whole world can't replace your soul. So in any situation of lack, the very first thing you need to do is attend to your soul and trust God to provide. For the honest truth is, it is possible to have outward prosperity, but create a greater need inwardly. It's possible to become rich materially while you become poor spiritually. That's what happened to the Israelites between Egypt and the Promised Land. When God tested them with lack, they responded wrongly and got their eyes focused on provision. They didn't have manna, so they complained. When they had manna, they didn't like it. They wanted more, and God gave them quail until they choked on the quail and died. And listen to Psalms 106:13-15. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Turn your notes over to page 2 and consider this. They simply got greedy. They didn't like what he'd given them, so they wanted more. And their eyes became so focused on physical prosperity that they brought spiritual poverty. And God answered their prayer. And God, in his love and mercy, gave them full stomachs, but they had leanness in their soul. And I believe this is the great danger facing the church of Jesus Christ today. We've gone after money in the church to the place that we've abandoned God. Our churches are richer than ever. Our pastors are prospering. Our members are getting breakthroughs, but our spiritual condition today is worse than ever. We need revival in our nation. We need revival in our churches. Because the honest truth is, if you had to choose, it would be better to be poor and godly than to be rich and damned to hell for eternity. Fortunately, we as children of God don't need to choose between the two. We can be godly and prosper. We can be godly and wealthy. We can have the things that God wants for us spiritually and materially when we honestly pursue God's kingdom values. So when lack comes to test you, give yourself to God. Commit to stand in faith, not in what you see, but in the God who provides. Don't sell your destiny for bread. Don't let the devil bribe you out of God's will. Don't sell your body to fill your pocket, for God is testing your response. And when you respond to God in faith and submit to his ways, he will work on your behalf. And that brings us to the second stage of overcoming lack. God works in accordance with our response. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word response. God works in accordance with our response. Our story continues in verses 9 and 10. Here's what had happened so far. Jesus saw the crowd. He tested the disciples and said, "What are we going to do?" And the disciples came back and said, "We don't have enough." But here's what they answered. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish." So what did Jesus do? He took the loaves and the fish, and then the Bible says he gave thanks to God and distributed them to the people. And afterward, he did the same with the fish. And the beautiful truth is, this is a miracle waiting to happen. Before the miracle of multiplication, there was the miracle of God moving in the heart of a young boy to give what he had. And generally speaking, God doesn't do the supernatural if we don't do the natural. Last week I taught you that God often requires our involvement in miracles. This is especially true in the area of financial miracles. More than any other type of miracle, God requires for financial miracle for us to participate and get involved. In another place in the Gospel of John, we see the disciples went out fishing one night and they caught nothing. Jesus came and said, "Throw your net to the other side of the boat." And when they obeyed and threw their net on the other side, the Bible says the net got so full of fish, it was a mighty intake, and it blessed them, and God multiplied to meet the need. Miracles of provision require our participation. If they hadn't thrown the net, they wouldn't have gotten the fish. If the boy didn't give, there wouldn't have been a miracle. And it's the same today. God is able and willing to provide for you, but he wants you to participate with him. And most often, that requires that you give what's in your hand. For you see, when you sow what is in your hand as a seed, God takes it in his hand and makes a harvest. The problem for many of us is we have scarcity mentality. When we have a little, we think, I've got to hold on to what I've got. I've got to use it for a rainy day. I've got to save it for what I need. We think if we have a little, we've got to hoard it. But God's ways are not man's ways. And kingdom of God works like this. The way to gain is to give. The path to abundance is to give away what you have. That's why Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says, one person gives freely, but gets even richer. Another person doesn't give what they should, but gets even poorer. Anyone who gives a lot will succeed. Remember that when it's offering time, okay? Anyone who renews others will be renewed. God is encouraging us today to do what the little boy did. He gave to Jesus what he had, and Jesus multiplied it. There was no food around, but he gave the little he had. The disciples said, this isn't enough. It won't meet the need. But Jesus knew that what once it was in his hand, he could multiply it. For it's always known that when God takes over our seed, he brings a harvest. More can be done when it's used by God than when it's used by us. God can work in any way to produce anything we need. One thing I love about the Lord is that he always works with the material at hand. Think about creation. God had nothing to work with. There was nothing in existence, but God had his word. So God used his word and spoke the worlds into being, and they came to pass. When God wanted to make man, he had nothing but the dust of the earth. So he used the dust of the earth, what was at hand, to make man. When it came to making Eve, he used what he had at hand. He used the rib of Adam to create Eve. You know that's why women are more beautiful than men, don't you? Yeah. You know women are more beautiful than men. All the men said amen. It's because man came from raw material, but woman came from finished product. God always uses the material at hand. He always uses what is there, and that's the same with us. Everything in your hand is a seed, but everything in God's hand is a harvest. If you'll give him what you have, he will do miracles. For God always asks us, what's in your hand? To Moses, he said in Exodus 4, the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? It was a staff, but God used that staff to deliver his people. So here's the truth you need to take home with you today. Don't allow what you don't have to keep you from giving what you do have. Turn your notes over to page 3 and consider, with God, anything he can use can become a provision. Anything in your hand can be multiplied. Anything at all can be used by God. That's the truth we learn from the true story of a great man of faith named George Mueller. George Mueller lived in the 1800s in a city called Bristol, England. And for 62 years, George Mueller ran an orphanage. During that period of time, he raised over 10,000 orphans for Christ. And the most amazing thing about his story is that he never asked anyone for money. He only prayed and asked God. But for 62 years, God provided for 10,000 orphans simply through the prayers of that great man of faith. Sometimes things got tight. Sometimes God used lack to test his faith. There was one morning when the house mother came to him and said, "Mr. Mueller, the children are all bathed and dressed and ready to go to school, but there's no food to feed them breakfast." And George Mueller said, "Send the children into the dining hall and tell them to sit down." Then he went in and gave thanks for the meal that at that time didn't exist. But just a few minutes later, there was a knock on the door, and they opened the door. There was a local bread baker, and he said, "Sir, I couldn't sleep last night. All night I was thinking of you. I knew you needed bread, so I made 3 batches of bread. Here it is." They took the bread inside. A minute later, the door knocked, and there was the milk delivery man. And the milk delivery man said, "Sir, my cart to take the milk to market has broken down, and by the time I repair it, the milk will spoil. So rather than spoil the milk, I'm giving you all the milk." It had broken down right in front of the orphanage, and the children had bread and milk. I thought you'd clap for that. And so it was, year after year, for 62 years, 10,000 orphans were taken care of through prayer and faith. Because when you give God what's in your hand, he multiplies it back to meet the need. Your response releases God to work. So how can you respond to God in the face of your lack today? What do you need to do? Do what Jesus did. First of all, take what's in your hand and give it to God. And then secondly, give thanks. For the amazing thing here is that Jesus gave thanks before the loaves and fishes were multiplied. He tells the disciples to let the people sit down, and he gives thanks before the miracle took place. I don't know about your house, but at my house, they never call me to the dinner table until the food is ready. If my wife's in the kitchen cooking and I'm upstairs in my home study praying or reading or preparing a message for Agape House, I can smell the aroma of the food, but they don't call me, "Come to the table," until the table is set, the food is cooked, and the drinks are poured. But when everything is ready and it's time to eat, my wife calls, "Sweetheart, come to dinner, come to the table, food is ready." And I come at that moment, and the food is served, and I eat. When Jesus told the disciples, "Let them sit down," it was an act of faith. Sit down at the table, because food is ready. And then he lifted his hands and gave thanks before it was multiplied. Then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and his Father did a miracle. The problem for most of us is that we don't thank God till after we've seen the answer. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Thanking God after a miracle is gratitude. But thanking God before a miracle, that's faith. Faith that responds to God and releases his power. Maybe you're here today and you're facing lack, but you've got something in your hand. A little time, a little money, a little idea, you've got something that God wants you to release to him and sow into his kingdom. Maybe you're here today and you're waiting for an answer to prayer, you're waiting for your miracle, but you've never stopped to thank God for what he's going to do. You've thanked him for what he did in the past, but he's waiting for you to begin to thank him. For praise is the language of faith when you say thank you before it happens. The miracle of provision may not have manifested yet, but when you thank him by faith, you release a powerful force that opens the door to overcome lack. And when we respond to God in that way, God always rewards us with abundance. And that's our third stage to overcoming lack today. Just take your pen and fill in the blank with the word rewards. God rewards us with abundance. Listen to the amazing conclusion to this story in verses 11 to 13. They all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, somebody say full. Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who'd eaten from the 5 barley loaves. From not enough to more than enough. From a simple 5 loaves and 2 fish, God multiplied into 12 baskets full of food. People often say those 12 baskets were for the disciples, one for each of them. But I say, oh no, it wasn't. Those 12 baskets full went to one person and one person alone, the boy who gave the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. The disciples didn't give anything, but the boy gave all he had, and he got the 12 baskets left over. For God rewards us when we pass the test and respond to God. God promises to provide for you. He promises to meet every need in your life and to bless you above and beyond what you could ask or think. You cannot outgive God. You cannot give more to Him than what He'll give back to you. Whatever you sow to God is a seed, and God takes it and makes it a harvest in your life. And when you pass the test and respond to God in faith, it always results in reward. That's why Ephesians 6:8 says, remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do. When you're in a difficult spot, remember. When you're facing a need, remember. When there's something in your life that's not working, remember. God will reward you according to what you've done. But in that verse, there's the key. God rewards us for what we've done, not what we hope to do, not what we intended to do, not what we planned to do, not what we prayed about, but what we've done. The more you sow, the greater the harvest you reap. That's why 2 Corinthians 9 says this. Remember this. Remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. The more you give, the more seed God has to multiply back to you. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Here at Agape House, we don't beg you for money. We don't harass you. We don't manipulate you. There are some places you go, the prophet will tell you, if you give me $1,000, I'll do this. You know, some places, the more you give, the more they pray, the greater the prophecy. That's nonsense. You don't pay for prayer. We're not manipulating. You don't want to give. That's your problem. I'm sorry for you. You won't be blessed, but that's up to you and God. But we give willingly and cheerfully because God is able to bless you abundantly. So that in all things, somebody say all things. At all times, say all times. Having all that you need, say all that I need. You will abound, prosper, increase, multiply in every good work. For he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Listen, God gives seed to who? To who? He gives seed to the sower. You say, Lord, I need seed. Start sowing what you have. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I speak to you today that if you will yield yourself to God, sow in faith and give Him thanks in advance, God will multiply and meet your need. He will take what you've given and make it a harvest. He will replenish your seed and restore your bank account. He will not allow you to go begging. You will not run out of seed. Your capital will not run dry. Your account will not run empty. Your harvest will surely come in. For He's the God who overcomes everything. He overcomes lack. I'm speaking to two people today. Number one, you're here and you're in trouble. You can't pay your bills. The money's not enough. Can't make it to the end of the month. Today's the 10th and you don't know what to do. God wants you to know He cares. He's got it all under control. If you simply begin to praise Him by faith and do what you can, God's going to come through and give you a miracle. But I'm also speaking to a second group of people today. You have a vision. You have a dream. Like Martha Berry, you want to touch the world. You want your life to count. You've got a ministry in mind. But you look at the overwhelming multitude, the overwhelming need, and you say, Lord, it's just me. I'm so little. But God says to you today, if you'll yield your vision to Him and you'll come to Him, give Him what you have, thank Him in advance, He's going to bless you and cause the miracle to come through you that will touch millions of lives. They will do great and mighty things for His kingdom. Whoever you are, whatever you're facing today, know that God cares and He's ready to work with you to overcome lack in your life. We can begin today by standing to thank Him and praise Him for what He's going to do in our lives. Would you join me in doing that right now? Let's stand and release the power of God through our praise. Let's speak the language of faith today. Let's say, Lord, I believe. I thank you for what you've done, and I thank you for what you're going to do by faith in my prayers. Just begin to lift your hands and praise him right now. Just begin to worship him and thank him. Say, Lord, we give you glory. We give you praise. Thank you for the miracle. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for multiplying, Lord. You already know in advance what to do. You've already got it planned out. Thank you, Father. We bless you by faith. We believe in you, God. There is no lack for those who fear you. For the word of God says, trust the Lord. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. We receive your promise and we thank you for it today, Lord. We will lack no good thing. We fear you, O God, and we will lack nothing in our lives because of your power and your grace. Come on and join Heart Song as we sing together right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's put our hands together as we praise the Lord.
Praise the name. Come on and give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for your people today. For everyone facing lack, Lord, come down by the power of your Spirit. Meet the needs today, Lord. Stir our hearts in faith. We bind and rebuke the devourer and command him to flee in the name of Jesus. We ask you to open the windows of heaven, respond to our praise and our faith today, and overwhelm us with your goodness. Remove lack from our lives. Supply seed to the sower. Give us the courage to give, to respond, to obey. We thank you by faith. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give the Lord one more big round of applause. God bless you. Wow. It's great to be in the house of God today, and I trust that the Lord is speaking to you through this message. Don't forget that if you need counseling, you need prayer, our church is ready and standing here with you to help you through. You can see any of our pastors after the service, and we'll continue to minister the Word of God to you. But we also know we have to put the Word of God into practice today. If you believe it, say amen. On the the back of your sermon notes, there's some suggested ways that you can do that. You can become a regular giver at Agape House by paying your tithe. You can become an offering giver. You can also join the Missions Walk on Saturday, April 30th, as you saw on the news. A lot of different ways. And I want to make it clear to you today so that you can know best how to give and why to give here at Agape House. So I've asked two of our senior management at our church office to come and make a presentation to you. And they're coming right now. I'd like to introduce them to you if you don't know them. This is Mrs. Veronica Anim. She's our church administrator. Don't say anything bad to her. You'll be in trouble. I tell you, I've learned that myself. She's a tough lady. Amen? No, I'm just joking. And of course, we have Mr. Christopher Akakbo. He is our chief financial officer. And they are great quality professionals who help to manage and lead and administer our church and our church finances. And I've asked Chris to come and give you a little report on what your money does when you give and ways that you can give here at Agape House. So let's give them a big welcome today. God bless you. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Indeed, it's an opportunity to come your way and to tell you about three things of giving, why we have to give, what you can give, and how you can give it. The message is so profound, and I believe that you have your bulletin with you. If you have it, I will kindly ask you to look at it. I'll take you through this short presentation, why we have to give. In the first place, the scripture requires that we give. If you look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38, the Bible says that give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, will men pour onto your bosom. And when you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it says that if you give, if you want to give, you should purpose in your heart and you should give cheerfully. So here in Agape House, we believe that if you want to give, you will give cheerfully. And for you to do that, you need to understand why you are giving and what your money is being used for. Amen. In the first place, you realize that for some time now, our church is growing. We have the children ministry and the number is growing. And we need to expand our facility. And so at this juncture, we will encourage you to give more so that we'll be able to expand the facility and accommodate our children. If you believe that, I want you to know that you are in the right place and you'll give. Amen. The second reason is that we provide quality training for pastors. In Agape House, we have people who always come and they want to be trained. This is a quality teaching that we give to them, and it is free of charge. It's a sponsored program. And in addition to being sponsored, we have monthly stipends that we give to them. This is what your money can do. And we'll remind you and we encourage you that you should give more so that we'll be able to give that quality teaching. In addition to that, we promote the preaching of the gospel. And we reach out to deprived areas. When we have the money, when we have your funds, we are able to reach out to the world. We want to win more souls. We want to fulfill the Great Commission. And so we encourage you to do that. And then lastly, we are able to help more poor children and communities. Agape House provides full care for orphans and vulnerable children through the Agape Children's Home and the Agape Academy. We also provide boreholes for poor communities in Ghana. You are all aware that we have the Agape Academy. And we know that we have the destitute who are there, and we provide full support. We provide for them in every way. We just want to encourage you once again that your money is in for a good cause, and God will reward you. Amen. What we can give, as you all are aware, you know that you're supposed to give your tithe, and the tithe is the 10% of your income. For some of us, we are already aware, and for those who are here for the first time or those who are not aware, we just want to remind you that God requires us to give our tithe, and we will gladly receive your tithe and do the work of God. And you know there are so many benefits that we can have when you give your tithe. God rebukes your devourer in any area of your life. And so we encourage you that as you do that, just rest assured that your devourer will be rebuked. Amen. And then secondly, we have the free will offering. During the services, when the worship is going on, you are touched. The Spirit of God leads you and you want to give more. You can give beyond your tithe. It has no specific amount. As God leads you, you want to give. The last one is, how can you give? You can pay your tithe and give your offering in cash or check, as you always do. And during the worship, you can also give. We have our resource center. If you come in and you want to give your tithe, you kindly go to the resource center. You'll be given your tithing envelope. You have your numbers. And for those who want to give, who don't have the cards, you are gladly welcome to the resource center. We have able people who will attend to you, who will be able to help you to be a regular tither. You can also give on our website, that is www.agapegospelmission.org. And so you can make that payment online. You can also pay your tithe and give your offering through direct debit payment or standing bank order. This is what some of you have been doing, and we encourage you to do more. We also want to make the payments more convenient. We have the mobile, pay, and the number is 0544-336-482. I take the number again, 0544-336-482. So we have all modes of payment available to you, and feel free to give unto the Lord, because we believe that when you give, and as you listen to the messages, we know that you know why you should give by now. And as the offering basket is being passed around, we encourage you to give, and give cheerfully, because we know that our God will reward you abundantly. Thank you so much for listening to us. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Please put your hands together.